every moment that I have. It's lovely to have my mum here as well. Lovely to have my dad here. I didn't see you, cheeky, sneaking in. Lovely to have Angie and Richard visit today as well. Lovely to see you guys. And just, so many beautiful friends. Ruth, I just saw you as well. Ah! really blessed to be able to share with you today. So thanks, church, for having me again and for people for coming and just sharing this time. I better check what the time is. Just like wave at me when I've gone too long because I'm really bad at that. Love it, love it. How'd you go getting that up, Mash? I'm going to turn this thing on and I might be able to actually click through it. This is just a quick like 1 minute video just to show you, if you haven't heard of MAF, if you don't know who that is, if you don't know where they are, it's an international organisation. So this is just a really quick flicking thing just to give you an idea of where they've been over the years. A bit of a flashback, a bit of an insight into where they've been. Planes have changed a bit over that time. Fashion's changed a bit over that time. But God has been the very centre of everything MAF has been doing for 80 years around the world. I'm only going to share about Arnhem Land. Arnhem Land is the only place that I have been. I've got various good friends that are around other places where MAF is still serving in other remote countries. But Arnhem Land is where I live. So I'm right up the top there. If I had a dollar for every person that said, how's Darwin? Or today was like, that's right, you're in Central Australia. I'm like, northeast. And you can't even fathom how far it is. You kind of forget that that region even exists. But it's right there along 700 kilometres of mostly gravel road and river crossings and all that fun stuff. So look, some of these photos might look familiar. I'll see if my clicky... Okay, so this is a bit, some of these photos might look familiar, but I just wanted to add some context as to why MAF is there. So some nice clouds happening, this is wet season. That was just before I left, that bottom one. It was just like, it's raining, and then all of a sudden, like 3 minutes later, it's just chaos. So as you can imagine with water like that, it makes things pretty hard to get around. Oops, sorry, are you clicking or am I clicking? Good, okay. I thought I did something good then I was like, alas. That's so annoying. That was working really well before. Anyway, and that's another one I was talking about that long ago. So in the middle of the wet, it is really, really wet. If you want to click to the next one, Mash, this is a bit, and you might have seen this one as well. So I will talk a little bit about communities today and homelands. So that one with the yellow arrow, if you point in there towards Elko Island, that's a community. So that's a large community, about 1,000 people. That one's Gullawinkle. We fly into there. Those red arrows are a shuttle that we run every day. There's six different airlines. MAF was the only plane up there 80 years ago. We were the first ones there, but now there's five other providers. But we're the only one that does a shuttle around those big communities. So that we do that red arrow every day to jump between the big major communities to get healthcare and all lots of different people that I'll talk about soon. And there's also these homelands. So if you zoom in where that blue is, you zoom in and it looks a bit more like that. And then you zoom in even further and there's these tiny little what are called homelands. And those are places where the Yolngu happier, healthier. They're living closer to their traditional ways, I guess, where a lot in the past people were forced into bigger communities where there's inter-clan issues and just a lot of different things. But these homelands, they're much healthier. They're usually in family clan groups, but there are still challenges because obviously they are a long way away and getting help when you need it is really hard. So if we jump to the next one. So this is a bit more of what the land looks like and very remote, and when that water comes it is really hard. So April last year we had 1 meter of rain in April, and I think it was on the news all over the place because communities, all these remote homelands and stuff, were completely cut off. A lot of the time people in these communities, they drive in. So you can drive a lot of the time in the dry. You drive in, they might drive for 7-8 hours or something, and load up at Woolies and get resources, get fuel and stuff to get them by for the next while. But it was completely cut off. All the rivers rose and you just couldn't get anywhere. So we flew about 4 ton of freight over that, just over April, to get people out, to get food to them, to get, they're dependent on fuel running generators and things like that. So we spend a lot of time carrying a lot of stuff because the areas were just completely cut off. So that's why MAF is in Australia. People go, oh, it's not a developing country. It's a first world country, but a lot of these places, they're so remote. In other places in the world that we serve, like PNG, there's hardly any roads, you can't get through, so aviation is a lifeline. This is the only place in Australia that we fly because it is so remote and it's cut off with bad weather. We can jump to the next one. I'm just going to talk really quickly through this because a little bit of this is just revision from when I last shared, so I just knew there'd be a few people that haven't heard this before. So we do a lot of work with healthcare. There's not flying doctors up there, but there's Care Flight, and they do the same thing. There's also St John's Ambulance, but the problem is they can't get into these places. That big Care Flight plane, that can only land on 5 of the runways up there. There's over 60 runways. So if something happens in one of these small homelands, somebody has a heart attack, the Care Flight plane, which is the expertise, they can't get in there anyway. So they call us and go, hey, can you get in there? Can you go and do a medical retrieval? So we do a lot of medical retrievals. We work really well with St John's Ambulance as well for the same reason. They can drive for 4 hours down a track, or they can jump in with us and go and do a retrieval. So healthcare is a big part of what we do. And we also do domestic violence shelters, shattering that domestic violence is such a massive thing out there. But we do a lot of domestic violence retrievals as well, getting people to safety with mostly mums and children. So we do a lot with that. Jump to the next one. This is, I'll play a video in a second. This picture down here is a place called Gotalala, which will be mentioned in the video. We work really closely with Lena Homelands, which is an Aboriginal organisation that works in healthcare, education, a lot of different things, but they need help to be able to get places and to be able to be supported to pull off what they want to do for their people. So this video goes for about 3 minutes and just gives a bit of an outline of what they think and what it's for and stuff. All good. Might just need to turn the sound up a little bit, I think,
Mash. So today flying to Burangala. We're going to pick up a bunch of the primary school students and younger students, as well as any other community members who want to come to Gutalala.
This is my old housemate.
Spend the night so that they're ready to go for tomorrow's 50th anniversary celebration.
Hi there, everyone. Yeah, we're just currently driving to the 50th anniversary of the Lainapoi Homelands. I've been driving to a small community called Gutalala where the celebration is going to take place, about 2.5 hours from Gove. And the Lainapoi Homelands is an area that MAF supports. We support them with healthcare, with emergency evacuations, and also support the Lainapoi Homelands School.
Self-determination, and Yulamala decided to make control of their own future.
My name is Yanen Murmonongoro. MAF to me personally, it provides a reliable service for homeland Yolngumala, and you know, for other services that needs to be done in homeland, and people that do those, provide those services and carry out the work into homelands, MAF flies those people into the homelands day in, day out.
This was a massive celebration that happened a few months ago.
MAF has been so much involved in the movement, going, taking people back to their homelands. All of that, and MAF was part of it.
I'm Abby White. I'm the principal at Lane Upoi Homeland School. We have a long history of collaborating with MAF. For the majority of the time, our staff travel with MAF to get to and from location in homelands. But also in recent years, critically, we've been running a boarding program here at Gathalala where secondary students will come together to do their NTCET studies, and MAF fly those students in and out each week to participate in their secondary education.
Bandara! Hola! It's the neighbouring islands! Yo.
MAF provide essential lifeline services to the people here, and we've been doing so for over 50 years. Arnhem Land is an
That's
area about the size of Iceland and home to 16,000 people who are arguably some of the most isolated people on the planet. For many people, the opportunity to get to a hospital, to get to safety, to get to a school is many hours of driving along dangerous, dusty, bumpy roads. And at many times of the year, it's just impossible to do so.
The history of MAF is important for everyone to know, and the connection it built with the Yolngu of the homelands. So yeah, today I speak very proudly of MAF.
That just gives you a bit of an idea of the MAF, the Lane Upoi homelands. So that was the 50th anniversary, and that was a massive thing in earlier this year, late last year. And a man from, he's currently living in Queensland now, he was actually the first MAF pilot in, oh, I should have done my maths, 1972, I think. He actually came up and spoke as one of the speakers at their 50th celebration, because he was like the first guy there. And so it was amazing to actually have our pilots fly him back out. And he was the first MAF pilot. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. So we do a lot of work with them, and people up there, the Yolngu people, are very passionate about their homelands. That's their, they're very close to country. They're healthier when they're on their country. So yeah, in terms of my role, it's obviously very different. So that was all full of pilots and things like that, doing all that work. But my role, I'm not a pilot. My role is family support. It's about supporting the people that are on the ground so that they can stay. We've been flying for 50 years in Arnhem Land, but if people are like, you know what, I can't do life anymore, I'm out of here, because it's hard living up there in lots of different ways. So my role as family support is just supporting families in whatever that looks like for them. So I might just start at the top and just kind of go around. Sometimes that's taking care of kids. That was me taking care of a bunch of kids while their parents were in a parenting seminar for taking care of kids that are growing up in third world cultures. Sometimes it's just getting the parents together when it's just hard to get out in the climate and things like that. It's just bringing people together. Sometimes it's organising a barbecue on the beach. Little things that just make it feel a bit like normal life. Someone's taking care of somebody's baby. This one here is organising a kids' conference while we have our conference. I liaise with a kids' team, and they come up and help run a kids' conference for us so that we can all actually just be part of our own conference. So with a bunch of, yeah, it's beautiful with those kids. This one's just a morning tea. That's a lot of the time that's just involved in when we have new staff or staff leaving or something like that. I really... Morale in a staff, in a workplace, especially when the place is so hard with climate and spiritual oppression and all these things that make people family and make people welcome and things like that, like welcome morning teas or thank you morning, things like that. So that one's there is just a time where we had morning tea that I organised together, and we were just praying for the people that were leaving. Sometimes it's organising kids' activities. That's our team there at the moment. There's a couple of people that have now left from that picture. I haven't got a most updated one. Sometimes it's just, well, making birthday cakes. I just make sure every person, when they come to work on their birthday, they get a birthday cake. Once again, just because it's part of people being valued and part of people, everyone's away from their family, you know, but people can be like, oh, you know what, somebody remembered my birthday and I got to share this time with somebody. So it's just the little things that kind of make people feel like family. Yep, once again, just getting people out. But sometimes it also looks less people, and sometimes, next one, Mash, sometimes it looks more like cleaning a house. This was a family that left and you know, just trying to helping people clean their houses when they leave, or making sure a place is ready for when they are. Oh, mate, you have no idea how many cockroaches we get up there. The insects are crazy, the ants are crazy, everything. But just sometimes, so you know, sometimes it just looks like cleaning a house, preparing for somebody to move up there. Sometimes it's buying the milk and buying the coffee. You should have seen how much milk I bought before I left. I'm down here for 2 months. I think I bought like, I don't know, 40 things, I don't even know, but, you know, somebody has to buy the milk, right? Without coffee, we go crazy, right? Maybe only some of us, I don't know. I'm part of the people care team, so I'm doing more of a shift towards people care than family support, because not everything's about family. Single people need support as well, I should know. So it's about caring for people, caring for the kids, caring for the staff, caring for everyone. So we have a people care team that is based, it's run, our boss is in New Zealand, but there's people in every continent. But I'm kind of our local liaison for people care, and I will be working with them even more increasingly as I continue to work. The bond down there with a trauma-informed practice, I did a workshop with people talking about with our domestic violence and supporting domestic violence victim survivors with the intention of training our staff. How can we help more with supporting people, victims and survivors? How do we help people get out? We can run planes, which we do. We do last-minute evacuation. Sure, we'll drop there to pick someone up. But if it's too hard for them to actually get on a plane, if it's too hard for them to actually leave abusers, etc. So being more informed with that and being able to train up our staff to be more aware. Sometimes it's counting money. That's not Australian money, is it, kids? They're American dollars because we use those in Timor. That's one of our other programs that's just down the road. Sometimes it means farewelling people or welcoming people. Sometimes it means making sure their houses have got toasters and blankets and all that stuff. So the one in the middle there, the exam portal and the computer, I've also been helping with local pilots, not even out. Well, some of our guys, some of our pilots and some of our engineers, their ongoing training. And I'm a facilitator/invigilator for our pilot exams. And that was just a thing in the area that was needed. There are no other exam invigilators in the area. So they're based in Canberra, but they were desperate for somebody to run. So I was like, sure, I can fit that in. But it's great because I've been able to connect with other local pilots that are also just trying to just find a way to do some of their exams and things like that. So, and this is lovely. This girl that's right next to me here, her name's Yalarinya, and she's in year 11 or year 12 this year. And she's just been like, I want to come and work at math. I want to come and work at math. I love you guys. She drops in all the time to what was my old house. She drops in and plays the drums, and she's just keen as mustard. And so she's just started doing work placement with us one day a week. She's like, can't I do two? We're like, maybe just one to start with, you know. But she's keen as mustard. She loves math, and she's really keen to be working with us. So it's just been awesome having her join in. So this is kind of what a lot of my day-to-day looks like. And the top is just organising pastoral care. We have somebody come in and run pastoral care visits, and when somebody comes in to do that, I'm just going nuts trying to organise so that they can get out to every family, so that every bunch of kids, every family can be able to debrief, to be able to just chat with people that are looking out for their well-being. So it's easy to just run, and I've learnt myself, it's easy to run and actually forget, I have to actually take care of myself. This is hard yakka, and sometimes you just need to stop and count things up and debrief with people and stuff as well. Jump to the next one. I can't even remember what's coming up, but we'll soon find out. Local church. So I'm still really involved in the local church. I'm on the board now as well, leading worship usually every 2 or 3 weeks. Doing the Carols by Candlelight every year. If you get my newsletter, you would have seen every end of the year, I'm like, and it was Carols by Candlelight. I could barely walk after this year. I did almost the whole thing myself, which is not a wise thing, but it kind of needed to be done at the time, and I was absolutely smashed. But it's just a delight to see the community come together and to be able to hear about the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Just, you know, running Youth Girls Bible Study at my house. We've still been doing that this year. I'm actually in that photo. I can't point out because I haven't got my thingy. You can't even see me, but I'm in there, I promise. I'm like about there, under that pile of kids. That's what happens when you take marshmallows to a campfire. Every beach church, they're like, Mel, did you bring marshmallows? Of course I did. They love me for my marshmallows. Anyway, but look, obviously lots of kids, lots of people. I love local church. I also organise combined church once a month to just bring the churches together. This lady up in the middle, she is just gorgeous. She is deaf and mute, so she can't hear anything at all. But I pick her up every week. She's in an aged care home. And I pick her up every week and bring her to church, which is funny because she can't hear anything that we do. She can't hear the music. She can't hear the preaching. She can't hear anything. But she just loves being there. And I'm like, I'm like, what do I say? I don't know Yolngu Mata. She can't hear English. I don't know Yolngu sign language, but, you know, we communicate with smiles and hugs and it's beautiful. And if I ever run into her outside of church, she just goes nuts. She just absolutely, absolutely loves it. So it's just been really special developing that relationship, especially without words. Really hard, but hugs go a long way. So I'm still very involved in local church. There, we can jump to the next one. So I've been doing some homeland reaches, outreaches. If you look at the top one, where I'm pointing there, I had to put stars there because it's impossible to find unless you know exactly where it is. So I saved it. And if you zoom in a bit more, it looks like that one. If you zoom in a bit more, you can go, oh yeah, there's actually a little airstrip there. And if you keep zooming in, you go, oh yeah, there's a little. And then if you keep zooming in, you go, wow, there's a homeland called Wonderwoy. And we fly there, probably every day or every second day. And any time we're there, the Christians in the area are like, oh, can you come? Can you come and share? Can you come and have fellowship with us? Can you come and teach us the Bible? Can you come? Can you bring Bibles? Do you have any Bibles to give us? Can you come and do some worship? So they're really, really hungry. These are Yolngu men and women and children that are based out here and live their life out here, but they are just hungry to hear about God. They just love God and love to be built up. So next one, Mash. So I went out on one of these outreaches. I might do more this year. We kind of do them roughly about once a month. It just depends on where we're going. It's not always this community. But that's what the land you fly over looks like. And look, we just spend there. We spend a bit of time. I do as many Yolngu Mata songs as what I can and then hand over to them when I don't know any more. They know some English songs as well. But just having time and having some food and encouraging them because they're very isolated and they're just always hungry to have that time of fellowship. So we do that at that one and other homelands as well, but this was the one that I went out to earlier. And I just love that. On the cross, just almost any community you fly into, you fly in, you land at this middle of nowhere runway, and you can usually see a cross there somewhere, just this cross. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Just there. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, there's not much else there, I tell you what. But they just really love that fellowship. Next one, I haven't even looked at the time. How are we going? Going for time. Dare I look? Oh, sorry. So this year, look, my work will stay very similar. I kind of feel like I'm going on 6 years in March. It will have been 6 years. I can't believe it. And I feel like I just talk about the same thing. In a lot of ways, my role doesn't really change. But the families are changing. They are always changing. The community is always changing. And what God wants me to do can be changing. So there's some things I will keep going. I'll still be doing working with the kids. I'll still be leading worship. I don't even know what... Well, I was worshiping there, but it's a funny photo. I'm like, meh, I was in a world of my own. But anyway, still going to be having girls' Bible study at my house. Still probably do some outreaches and things. I've done a lot more one-on-one discipleship in the year just gone, and I feel like I'll continue to do that as well, just having those ladies or usually one of them over and having some encouraging time there, just helping them with the stuff that they're going through. And over on the right there, sometimes it's just I work very closely with the leadership, and if we're talking about strategy and vision for the future and culture of our place and things like that, so I'll continue to work really close with the leadership to do that. And as I said before, family care family support is more changing into people care. And God knows what else I'll be doing. I have no idea. We will see. And growing. I just want to be growing. I want to be growing myself. I want to be helping others grow. I want to be helping the kids grow. I want to be helping my friends and my colleagues grow as well. So who knows? But I just like the idea that I'm growing and helping the people around me to grow as well. Jump to the next one. There's obviously been some hard things. Anyone who gets my newsletters, you will have known that we lost one of our good friends and colleagues. He was the deputy country director for Arnhem Land, killed in a horrific crash just over a year ago. Three teenagers stole a car and crashed. And so we lost him. He was just an amazing, amazing man. So that was a very, very hard part of this year. I left holidays early last year to race back up and be with the team. I kind of forget what it looks like. You know how people put a cross on the side of the road? Like down here, people put a cross on the side of the road if there's a crash. I kind of forget, is that normal or is that not? Like, I can't remember. But either way, there's four of these. So this is the one for Chris. But there's four of those on this road that we drive down every day. One for each of the kids and one for Chris. But yeah, it was a very, very, very hard year. We had nine people on that were first on the scene that beat all the paramedics and beat everyone. Nine people aged between 19 and 27 that were first on. Yeah, so it's been crazy trying to support the team through this. But all along through all of this, I've just been trusting Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This is what we have just held on to the whole way through. You see this just horrible things and you go, how can this world that we are in that is just, you know, not perfect, these things that are like that break God's heart, these horrible things that break God's heart, but we know that he takes these things and he will work it for good. That is a promise that he gives. And we don't know how, but we have seen the ways that God has worked things for good. We have seen where we have stood arm in arm with Yongul and the mum and the grandmother of the kids who were driving, 15-year-olds, their mum and grandma arm in arm with the left behind wife, worshipping together, singing, how great is our God? Singing, I will sing of the goodness of God over and over. How do you do that? How do you do that when you're arm in arm with the parent, the mums of the, you know, it's just, but you just see, and we believe that where we will continue to see the goodness of God, we will continue to see him use this for good and what he's done in the local community and the reconciliation that he has brought and the ways that he has broken down barriers has just been amazing. Sometimes it takes a catastrophe to break down walls and just rip things apart and bring about healing and reconciliation. So we've seen amazing, amazing things. I mean, God working this for good, but we trust that we'll continue to see him do that. Just a random observation. There's a lot of Ballander in my photos. Ballander are white people. And I think anyone looking today, you might have expected that I would show a billion photos of Yongul people. And I go, oh, I haven't, most of my people are white fellas. But that's actually okay because my calling, my job is supporting the MAF families so that the pilots can be out and about serving the Yongul people. And I still get to serve them in church. I still get to be friends, you know. But I'm aware that a lot of my photos are Ballander. But I was like, well, I don't have to do what other people expect. I just have to do what God has called me to do, and this season that I am in is mostly taking care of MAF people so that they can take care of the local Yolngu. And look, the other hard things, and I think I mentioned this to Dad a few weeks ago, just sometimes, like this photo, I love this photo. I was like, oh, this is beautiful. You see someone, and that's a lady that often comes to our house and sells artwork and things like that, and it's really nice to be able to just buy artwork off the street because it means they can go and put money on their power card or get food or something like that. So it's just beautiful and I love that. They're just like all smiley. But I was like, but I also remember that sometimes they're not coming and selling artwork. Sometimes they're just coming clearly intoxicated and wanting more money, you know. So, and sometimes relationships feel like it's just, what can you give me? What can you give me? And that gets really tiring. Like just honestly, in all honesty, everyone up there believes in what they're doing and believes in serving the land. Serving the people in that land, but it's, you still have big losses, you still miss family, you're still away from your comforts, you're still in the middle of nowhere, and you're in a place where your cultures just clash crazy. I feel like, and it's been said, that there are no cultures that actually stand further apart than what Western civilization here and Yolngu culture. They are so far apart in ways that I can't even put into words, which is a beautiful, like there's absolute beauty in that, but there are some things that make that really hard as well, and it can just get sometimes really Yeah, just challenging you, like, will I see a different, like, are you serious? We've been broken into again by 12-year-olds that have been sniffing petrol and just want food? Really? Been like, is anything changing? Is there any hope? Will things change? Because I'm not here to see nothing changed. Well, actually, I'm here because I'm doing what God has called me to do in this season. I can't make things change. We can't make things change in terms of like a culture or a behavior or a thing like that. That's not our job. It can get discouraging, but what we need to remember is that we have to do what God called us to do, and we can't do the actual changing, but we can be faithful to what God's called us to do. If you just jump ahead, next one, Mash. So here's the encouragement. And look, there's been times, and I mentioned before about the, you know, like missing family, missing friends. It's a very interesting team. It's an awesome team. I love, love, love it. But once again, people are all busy with kids, or people are busy with their little group of, you know, 20-year-olds or whatever. You know, but I remember at one time as well, I was just, this is Paul talking. He says, my first offence, no one came to support me. This is actually when he was in jail, but no one came to support me. Everyone deserted me. It may not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I've had times as well where I just feel like I'm on my own. The team is amazing. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely amazing. But when you're tired, you're exhausted, and sometimes you just feel like, am I the only one fighting this battle? But God really, really encouraged me. He stood by my side. He gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. And I do get really great opportunities to do that. And also in Hebrews 16 and 19a, so I've just left a couple little bits for the sake of fitting in, but because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And everything that Christ has done, everything that God is doing there, his faithfulness in all of these things is an absolute anchor for our soul. It's this hope in who he is, in his faithfulness, in his love, in his grace. That is the hope that we have and the anchor for our soul that keeps us going. And in Psalm 27, 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I like that I mentioned that in the song that we sang earlier as well. But you know, it is easy to lose heart. You know, the climate up there is very, just attacks you. This has been beautiful weather this last. I love it. Nice 35 degrees if the humidity is not 95%. Oh, this is glorious. But you know, the climate up there is just like everything is hard. Everything is hard. And the spiritual, climate is really interesting, really challenging as well. And it is very easy to lose heart. And our colleagues, especially when they've gone through trauma with the accident and things like that, you know, it's easy to lose heart. But that's why it's important that we come together. That's why it's important that we are part of the body of Christ. That's why it's important that we encourage each other, because it's easy to lose heart. But I have believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. And now that this is our current team with a couple of extra people that have moved interstate, they all believe that. We all stand in this believing together. We don't lose heart. We keep going. We encourage each other. When somebody's down, somebody else is up, and we encourage each other because we know that we'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Can't remember if that's the last one. Next one, Mash. Oh, yeah. So here are some prayer points. My upcoming knee surgery, I'm having a knee reco in 3 weeks. Long time coming. I heard it 6 years ago. But anyway. Filling crucial roles in Arnhem Land and across the world. We've got roles like, there's always lots of work to do. My work-life balance is very hard. There's so much that needs doing, and I'm a bit of a go-go-goer and not great at saying no. So it's always good to pray for my work-life balance, using wisdom in what I commit to. Local connections and chances to encourage others. I do have great opportunities to encourage others, but I'm always here. Praying for other chances to share the reason for the hope that's in me. There's a big hope in me, and I get to share that with a lot of other people, which is awesome. And just praying for God's leading in my ever-morphing role. Like I said, in some ways it stays the same, but I'm very aware that the God will take it in whatever direction that he wants it, and I'll just continue to follow him on that. And that I would have the energy and the insight to live as the best version of myself in all God would have me do. And that's my prayer for all of you as well. That is what God's made available to us. He has made available that he would reveal to us how we can be our best self, and he gives us the grace and the strength to do that, to be our best version of ourselves as we submit to him, as we surrender, and as we go, you know what, I'm not the hero, I'm actually surrendering because you give me the power to do what I need to do and what you want me to do. We can all, kiddies included, because you know me, I love bringing the kids into it, we can all be the best version of ourselves if we trust God and commit it to Him and let Him show us what He can do in our lives. We can all be the best versions of ourselves. Next one. Thank you so much for your support. I've got so many supporters in here, this church as a whole, and so many of these individuals. I'm so, so grateful for your amazing support. I can't do this. I can't do this if God doesn't make a way, as He is making a way through you guys. I can't be playing my part. I can't be being the best version of myself, because the best version of myself right now is me there. And I know that because God was so clear when He led me there. I had no interest in going. I'm like, I love Riddle. I love my family. I love Red Rock. I'm staying forever. And then God said, go. And I was like, you know what? I'm excited because I know you know what's best. And I've not regretted it a single day in my life. I miss family. I miss church. I miss all these things. But it's worth it because of what God wants. So thank you. Thank you so much for helping me play the part that I have to play. I couldn't do it without you guys, and I'm just so, so grateful. I'm aware I've gone fast. We probably don't have any time for questions, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to chat with you afterwards and answer any questions or anything like that. We might just finish with a song. Look at her. As if on cue, they enter. Shell and I sang this a few weeks ago, and Papa Ken last week said, all right, that's a request, so we're doing it. But I love it because this is actually a song, and you know when you hear the words, this is a song that right from the word go, when 6.5 years ago, when God first started speaking to me about going up, it was all about my identity in God. It was not about what the world said about me. It was not about my qualifications, not about what I thought I could do, not about my own insecurities. It was about what God could do through me and what He said about me. So when Papa Ken said this song, I'm like, oh, gladly, because yeah, we believe, all three of us, we believe in every bit of this song. And we pray that as you listen to the words, that you will take on that those words as well, and that it will encourage you to know who you are in Christ, know who He's made you to be, and have His word over you be the thing that shouts loudest to you, not what the world around you says, but His truth over you. Amen? Amen.
Fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Now is everything you think. You say I am held when I am fallen short, when I don't belong. Oh, you say I am yours, and I believe. Oh, I believe what you say. Your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory.
It is about what you think. Father, we thank you that you are such a great God and that you have adopted us. You've called us your own, Lord. And when the world says that things are just a coincidence or our life doesn't matter, Lord, we know that you cherish us. We know that you cherish us as individuals, Lord. You cherish us. You've made us, and Lord, you've made us with such intentionality. You've gifted us with such intentionality, Lord. You're doing things in our hearts with such intentionality. And Father, we thank you that we can walk this life trusting in your goodness. We can walk this life trusting in the identity that you've given us, Lord. You give us purpose. You give us strength. You give us a reason to live, Lord. It's so cliche that something would actually give us reason to get out of bed in the morning, but Lord, you do. You give us purpose in every breath. And Lord, we rejoice in that purpose. We rejoice in that calling. And we rejoice even more, Lord, that as we do walk this out, Lord, that you do it with us, hand in hand. You never say, do it by yourself. You never say, use your own strength, Lord. You give us the grace and the strength to do that, Lord. Father, I pray that with all of us today, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to your love in new ways, that you would open our eyes to the sacrifice that you've made so that we could have life abundantly, Lord, so that we could have life and freedom and not be bound by having to earn love, but Lord, to just receive your love and be strengthened by your love and be empowered every day with purpose and grace and love because of the love that you have for us. Father, as we continue in our time of fellowship today, Lord, just bless us as we bless each other, Lord. Speak to our hearts, continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, about the truth that you say about us and the truth that you say about this world, Lord, that you are piece by piece doing amazing things in. We just commit the rest of this evening into your hands, Lord, and thank you for being the amazing God that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.